This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Unhindered, A Journey to Move with Power and Purpose. Our author joining me from the West Coast, no, it's the East Coast of the United States, Gina Linnebert. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
This is a book that you have penned, a short read, has some fascinating storylines and chapter headings. The back of the book says this about your book: when you've been bound by things of this world for too long, this book will encourage you to believe that a new day has come. Now is the time to follow God and walk out in faith that you didn't even know was possible. This must be a religious book. Gina, tell me about it. Why did you write it? What's the background to Unhindered?
Well, the background is just, it is a religious, it is a heartfelt, spirit-filled book. It is something that I felt led to do. I really wanted to encourage mainly the audience of this book, women, who I feel like have kind of been shut up and sat on the sidelines, and I really just wanted to empower them, no matter what walk they're in, no matter what they're doing, stay-at-home mom, working mom, businesswoman, whatever that looks like, that there's a movement set out for them, and to find that and to fulfill that, and not to think that anything is less important than something someone else might be doing.
Share your personal
story. That was my main point.
Share your personal story. What were you doing prior to writing this book, and have you always been an author?
I have always written children's material. I work for a church currently. I have done a multifaceted of different jobs and positionings, but currently I do work for my church as the children's pastor. I have four children of my own, and I really feel like God wants us to move, and I feel like we're in a place where we can be sort of social media frenzied, and we lose sight of moving in the real world and stepping out in a faith that is truly unhindered.
Your chapter headings are fascinating. Chapter one is Serial Anyone with a Question Mark. You talk about superheroes, and you say superheroes move, and to be in control, B-E-E. Share a little of the background of those chapters. Superheroes move. Are you talking specifically to women in that chapter, or what is your underlying message there?
My underlying message is that I feel like I have four boys, so we are very inundated in superhero world in my home. And so I just thought this was a catchy name, chapter, and I really just wanted to encourage people that they are superheroes by their own right. They don't have to be Captain America or Thor to be a true superhero. That is something that we are created to be in our own world, whatever that looks like. And so I just want people to be aware of their surroundings. I talk about a story of a woman that I felt God telling me to stop and pray for her, and I did not. I missed that movement that he placed within me. And not to sound self-righteous or that my prayer would have changed the outcome of her life, but she ended up passing not long after that was placed before me. And I just realized in that moment that I could have been a superhero in her life. I could have said, I take time for you, and I don't want you to think that I'm feel silly for stopping for this woman that I don't even know. And so it's just looking outside of ourselves and being part of a God movement that he places before us every day.
So. Your book is not just a scripture read and devotional style. It really is telling stories. Just to give the readers a little bit of a feel for your writing style, one of your chapters has this paragraph in it. I may not be able to make a breakfast feast. I may not be able to do it all, but I can be okay with me that I can be. That doesn't give me a license to be lazy, but it does give me a license to embrace grace, and I know that I'm only human, something all of us, even guys, need to learn about.
Yes, it's very true. Yes, it's very story-oriented. It's a very easy read. It's just really meant to be an encouragement, actually, and I'm very vulnerable in the book. I'm very honest about some real-life events that I have failed at, and not let that define who I am, though. That those moments, they build my character, but they don't define it. I'm not a failure. You know, I might have missed out on a couple moments or lost a couple battles, but I just continue to press on. And I think that that's a valuable message for us all, that we don't give up in this life because we hit some hard blows. So.
That probably is outlined in Chapter 5, Bring on the Power and the Roadkill. That's an interesting title.
Yes, it is an interesting one. It's really a faith chapter, and how to believe in things that are honestly unbelievable, and to believe in a God that is possible even when it feels impossible, and to believe in yourself, and to believe in love, that we can, you know, if we stand together in this life instead of divided, that we really can make a difference. And I think that that's a very valuable message for each of us. For myself included.
One startling title that I think many of us who have parents or had parents, there's a certain time of year you wear a certain type of clothing, and there's certain, social settings that you wear certain types of clothing. This one is titled White Pants. Really? What is that all about?
Well, it's just a funny story of a moment that just caught my eye. And this woman, I was driving to the neighborhood, and she was gardening with all these beautiful flowers, and she looked amazing. And she was wearing white pants to garden in. And for whatever reason, that really spoke volumes to me, that she wasn't scared to get dirty. She wasn't worried about the white pants. And it just kind of brought on this moment of, especially for people who are caught up in seasonal dressing, or people who are mothers of little ones who can't wear white pants because they might get smudged, whatever the situation, it just reminded me that let's just be fearless in this life, and let's wear our white pants proudly. Let's move in all the things that we can move in, and not be detoured or, you know, somewhat awful of because we try something outside the box or out of the norm, and really try to encourage each other in our different movements.
That's a great observation. In fact, the back of your book even mentions this: the power and purpose of all you are meant to be are arising within you as you walk out your unhindered, mountain moving, white pant wearing faith. Very good advice. How long did it take, Gina, to complete your book?
Sort of been something I've been thinking about for quite some time, but once I really put my hands to the keyboard, it was probably just months. I just felt it all kind of unfolding quickly for me, and just kind of let it unravel like that, and it just happened.
But you wouldn't describe it as becoming unhinged?
No.
Just wanted to verify for my listeners that you actually know what you're doing and where you're going. It wasn't an unhinged moment.
No, I had an outline. I had a purpose behind it.
And as you would describe this to someone that doesn't know of your writing and know of your background, how would you describe unhindered to them?
I would say sort of regarding what you've said already, I would say it was a faith-geared book. One to encourage and one to set in motion a movement that is within each of us. So we can, you know, I feel like that some of us have had setbacks, but God always is ready for a comeback. And I think that we just have to set our eyes, change our perspective, you know, shift our paradigm and say, today's a new day and I'm going to make it count for everything that's in me. I'm going to love on people. I'm going to work hard. I am going to be the best mom, the best wife, the best husband, the best whatever I am. I'm going to be the best at it today. And if I mess up, then guess what? Tomorrow's a new day, and I get to try all over again. And I think that just as we come together as a society and focus on each other more than we do on ourselves and what we can bring to the table, that everyone has gifts and talents and abilities. And if we would just stop and notice those things in others and encourage and build them up in others, then I think we're setting ourselves up for quite a successful country. And if we continue to tear each other down and not look to those things that are positive and reinforce those, then you know, we continue to be negative and work against each other.
It's 11 chapters. Although this is faith-based, someone who doesn't have a foundation as you have it could benefit from reading your book, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I hope that people can feel God in a tangible way. I hope that He is a friend. But if you don't have that already, then I hope that either you can find that hope in this book, or you can at least laugh and cry a little bit with the stories that I've written, and that maybe you can see that He is not religious. You know, God is not a religious spirit. I think in our country, in our society, we've made such a big deal of God as a religious source, and He is a spiritual source, and I think that we need to look at Him as such and know that we can count on Him and that He does love us and that He created us in His image. First John says God is love. It is the essence of who He is. And so, yeah, I really hope that people can gather that from this book as well.
Faith-based, non-religious in the typical sense where it's just pushing an idea or a concept or maybe a viewpoint.
Right.
You're actually sharing personal stories and things that have established you in your faith and your foundation. Where do my listeners get copies of your book, Unhindered?
They can get a copy at anywhere really online that is a seller of books, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, all those places online do sell the book.
Now, would you describe your book as a little different from other inspirational books in the marketplace?
I would. I would. I think it's just, again, it's an easy read. You're going to get more personal stories that I hope people can relate to. And I think you're just going to get some real simple direction. I don't think that faith has to be complicated. I think we make it complicated as humans. And I think it just needs to be a simple process. And I think it's a little different than some.
I get the impression there may be some nuggets of humor in there as well.
I think so. I think if not, I try to be anyway in my own right. Just, you know, not being able to do things and being sloppy at some things. I think with that, there's humor when someone can laugh at themselves. That I think can hopefully an audience can laugh with me.
I like the format. It's a short read, 100 and so pages, maybe 108 maximum, and 11 chapters. So someone can sit down and in maybe a 4 or 5 minute period, read a chapter, absorb what's in there, and enjoy the read, enjoy the journey with you. Are you planning a sequel to this book?
I have been asked that question several times, and I'm not sure where I feel led right now. I really want to do some sort of parenting something, but I'm still in the process of parenting, so I don't know that I'm one of those people yet that fully knows how to write a book about that, but I do feel led in that direction at some point, so we'll see what God has for me.
Hope to hear from you in the future. This book is titled Unhindered, A Journey to Move with Power and Purpose. Our author, Gina Linnebert. Gina, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Yes, for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Pete Six of Beatles and Beyond. Why Don't We All Come Together, and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station. Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear these latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Lulu Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. We have a book today that's seasonal and topical for this time of year, titled List for Santa, List for Life. Provocative title. Our author, T.E. Corner, joins me from Pennsylvania in the United States. Welcome to the program, and I'll refer to you by your first name, Tom. How is your day going so far?
Fantastic, Jay. Thank you very much.
This is a colorful book, and obviously one that I would enjoy reading because it's a relatively short book. Just about 32 pages. Share the background story. Why did List for Santa, List for Life become a story for you to share?
Well, Jay, thank you for the question and the opportunity. I would say this book has been years in the making as I have continued to try to become a better individual, professional, husband, son, father, and I've been doing consistent reading and studying on self-improvement, on business development and leadership, and this idea dawned on me when I was actually, I traveled quite a bit, and I was doing some work in a coffee shop, and it was getting close to the holidays, and I thought about my daughters writing their Christmas list for Santa Claus, and I realized that my own personal experience, I've been able to achieve a lot of my goals and desires by maintaining a written list of goals, or maybe called a journal. And most kids every year during the holidays write a Christmas list, and once the holidays are done, the list is finished with.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would be a great idea to maybe teach kids the tremendous power behind writing down their goals and desires and maintaining that and not doing it just once a year, but on a continual basis. And I would say I'm perfect proof that it works.
Your book also is poetic in style. I was just reading or glancing at the opening lines, and just to give people an idea of how the book is laid out and the style, it begins by saying, "It's Christmas morning. Dad and little Kylie are still asleep. Mom is sitting in the kitchen, enjoying a hot cup of coffee, not making a peep. The sun is starting to shine bright on this beautiful Christmas day, just before little Kylie wakes up to see all the wonderful presents Santa brought her way." Have you always been poetic in your style?
This is new for me, and so I would say I have a creative spark, but I have not been poetic in my style historically.
So in your relationships, you have not been a poetry giver?
I wouldn't say poetry giver. I grew up with a family of teachers and coaches, and one of my idols is my father, who was a legendary coach in the local school system here in Pennsylvania, and he used to use a lot of quotes and ways to motivate his players, and I realized over the years that somehow I picked up that trait. So it wasn't necessarily poetic, but it was providing some sort of motivation or guidance for people.
You've included the concept or the idea of List for Life. How does that work its way into your story?
Well, the story again is about a little girl named Kylie, and I wrote the book to convey a very powerful message, and I wanted it to be very short and concise and to the point, which it is. As you mentioned, it's just 32 pages. And the power behind List for Life talks about Kylie leading up to Christmas and Kylie writing her list of things she desired for her mother, for her father, even for her teacher. And it shows how she wants not just things for herself, but other people in her life and close to her. And then come Christmas Day, the things she desired for her mother, for her father and teacher did come true, which is very, very powerful. And so that little story of Kylie around the Christmas time, the holidays, ends up at the end talking about Kylie growing up, being a mother herself with her own daughter, and that she took writing her list for Santa to create her own list for life, or her own journaling, and again, as I mentioned before, to writing down her dreams and desires to create something simple at a young age into a lifelong habit that really comes into play. If you're a business owner, you're writing business plans, that's another way for writing down your goals. So it's kind of Kylie during the holidays, getting excited about the holidays and what she wants for herself and others. And then the end talks about her being a mother herself, teaching her daughter the same strong habit.
Although your book looks like a book that's focused and perhaps directed towards children, I can see an adult theme that comes through as well.
Absolutely, Jay. That's a great point, because this book is for me. Growing up, I adapted really good habits, but sometimes you can't adapt all of them. And later in life, I realized the power of writing down my goals and dreams and desires. And the more I did it, and the more I did it on a regular basis, it really resulted in a more fulfilling life for me. And absolutely, although it is a children's book, it's a message that speaks to anybody of any age or any background.
Would you say that this approach is different from other children's stories in the marketplace currently?
I would like to say yes, that it does take a different approach. I do read children's stories to my children all the time, and there's all different approaches, and I've always wanted to be able to provide something that could last a lifetime for my children and other people. So I think the approach is, it's a great story. It talks about a really fun time of year for many children, but it does have that powerful message that you may not see in many other books.
There must be also an underlying message that comes through in addition to that. What would you say it might be as far as an overall picture of this particular story?
I would say the message is truly, really to, there's a quote that I actually created on my webpage that says, "Don't settle for the ordinary. Get what you desire by writing down your goals and dreams to achieve the extraordinary." So I would say the message is believe in yourself, and by believing in yourself and sticking to it and revisiting it by writing it down in a journal or a list, the more likely that your dreams and desires again will come true, leading to a more fulfilling, prosperous, abundant life. So again, the message is, I think, believe in yourself and revisit that and keep coming back to what you believe in. And you tweak it as time goes by. Life's not perfect, and you realize things change. And by tweaking it and revisiting it, your beliefs and the power of yourself, that you believe in yourself, will be very, very strong, and again, will lead to, I think, a fulfilling life.
Since this is an extension of some habits you have developed over the years, can you share anything that has happened in your personal life using these techniques that actually would be an underscore of how important it is to write lists and to plan ahead?
That is a great question. I was actually at a birthday party for my sister-in-law this week, and some of their friends were asking me about the book, and they asked me how I did it. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, quite frankly, this was something on my list. I wrote down on my list that I revisit on a regular basis that I wanted to write a book, and then I got more specific when I came up with the idea and the idea hit me. I had the title, so I had it written down, and I revisit this at least monthly, if not weekly. So that's a perfect example. This book came about because I did exactly that. I wrote it down on a list or in my journal, and it seemed like a very overwhelming task. I didn't know where to start, but by sticking to it and believing in it, it happened.
Have you had any career challenges that may have been corrected or improved upon through the use of this technique?
Absolutely. I do business planning every year for my career, and by embracing that, and I call that another method of creating a list or a journal, but by writing that down, and most professionals do a business plan and they don't revisit it maybe once a year, but by writing it down and going back to it and revisiting it and then adjusting it as necessary is, again, my view of creating a list. And it's been very, very powerful. It actually helped me to advance in my career by writing down exactly what I wanted to make, the type of job that I wanted. It helped me to advance myself in my career and also the money that I'm earning, which is amazing, so I can support my beautiful family.
I understand in 2012 that the career that you had been pursuing came to a dead end, and you had to look elsewhere. This was part of your success method.
Yes, it absolutely was. The company I was working for went out of business, so a lot of my colleagues, hundreds of colleagues, were laid off, which was very, very difficult for myself and for many others. And I did write down exactly what I wanted, and that's in my previous comment. That's what I was referring to.
Phenomenal.
Is I was laid off, and I needed to find out how I could continue my career, support my family. I wrote down all the people that I knew that were contacts in my industry, my friends, my family, and I wrote down how I wanted to approach it, who I needed to call, and by doing that, long story short, I was very fortunate that I was laid off only for a few months and landed a job, which, again, advanced my career and actually gave me a pay raise, which was very surprising.
Incredible. The story is List for Santa, List for Life. How would you introduce this to somebody, a mom or dad or grandparent or just a child that's listening, and get them interested in getting their own personal copy because of not only the immediate story but the long-range impact it could have on their life?
Well, yes, that's a great, that's my elevator pitch, I guess you could say, which is very important. And Halloween's right around the corner, and that's the kickoff of the holiday season. And so I can see my children getting very excited, and I would say the holidays are upon us. And I'm sure many children are excited about Christmas time and getting wonderful gifts for themselves and their family. So why not start off and start creating your list today, but also other things that you want maybe throughout the year other than Christmas, maybe your birthday, or maybe other days, maybe Easter, there's things that you want. Why not start a list today? Not just for a list for Santa, a list for Christmas, but a list that will last for your lifetime, and the things that you want and desire not always come true, but the majority of the time they come true, or things change, it may come true, but in a different fashion. So I would say to get excited about the holidays, and again, don't settle for the ordinary. You always want something extraordinary, and this time of year is fun and exciting for people of all ages. Why not start your list for Santa today, but also learn a powerful habit and create your own list for life. And buy my new book, List for Santa, List for Life, available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and especially Lulu.com.
Fabulous. And this is a character-building type of read as well. 32 pages, great graphics inside, and poetically done. The author, T.E. Corner, has been my guest from Pennsylvania. Tom, this is a wonderful gift for the holiday season, but one that could impact lives beyond Christmas. So thank you for sharing that. Is there another story in the future? Do you have a sequel that you might be sharing with us in the near future?
I'm so happy you asked, Jay. Yes, I finished my follow-up book to List for Santa, List for Life, and I'll start publishing that soon. My daughter even asked me about my next book, and although it was finished, she gave me a suggestion what the theme would be, and it was the exact theme that I have for my second book. So it was I was very proud, and my daughter was proud of me. But yes, I do have the follow-up that should be on shelves in the next year, or maybe a little bit over a year. Yes.
Fabulous. Well, Tom, thank you for joining me today, sharing your story. This is a great book for the season and a great idea. We should have goals, and this will help us focus on the things that should be important to us and are important to our future. Thank you, Tom, for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Jay. I enjoyed it.
My pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing, Lulu Press, this is Jay Douglas Parker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 Central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 Central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Trafford Press. This is Jay Douglas Barker. Our book today is called, or titled, Medical Uses of Marijuana. Joining me from the west coast of Canada, in British Columbia, is author Joseph W. Jacob. Welcome, Joe, to the program.
Well, thank you very much.
Joe, this is an interesting topic on many levels. There are a lot of bits of information that are floating about in the public domain about marijuana, some of them not too positive. You have chosen to address the medical side of marijuana, which absolutely makes sense to a lot of people. Share why you have an interest in this and what your background is, how this study came to be put into print.
Well, actually, it all began in grade 4, religion class. My parents sent me to a private Catholic school, and I knew they had to work extra hard to make additional money to send me there, and they also told me to learn truths about things, so I tried to. And in grade 3 of religion class, we studied the 7 days of creation, and on the second day, God created all the plants, and he said they were good. Then in grade 4, a new religion teacher said that there suddenly was a very bad plant that we should all completely stay away from. And it was this here strange name. I think she called it the marijuana plant. And I raised my hand and said, last year we learned about the 7 days of creation. And on the second day, God created all the plants and he said they were good. Now you say there was a bad plant. Why weren't we told about it last year when you were studying about it? And God said he made all the plants on earth and they were good. Well, who's telling me the truth, God or you? Well, the bell rang and the class ended, and the subject was never brought up again. But I said to myself, in the years ahead, I'm going to study more about this and find out what the real truths are and then write a book about it.
And you began studying. You have an education background. Share a little of your other involvements, other histories, other things that you're involved with as far as education.
Well, I've actually written two other books that are currently being sold internationally. One is called The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, Democracy for the People and for Each Person. And it's currently in the top 100 best-selling list of the Amazon group, all three of them. And I also have written another book called Organizing Successful Democracies. And that, for a time, is in the top 100, but it's still being sold regularly by the Amazon group and Barnes & Noble. And I just try to keep in touch with all the important book people, the book publishers, and the various recommenders of book-related items, and just try to stay as part of a team that is trying to make progress medically. Like, for example, the seed of the marijuana plant is the single most nutritional food source for human consumption in the world.
Hmm.
And these nutritious marijuana seeds may well counteract the Ebola virus that is currently affecting areas of the world where healthy people used to regularly eat marijuana seeds for thousands of consecutive years before the 1950s. Just a matter of getting the seeds, mashing them up, and eating them. And I'm sure it would go a long way, because it is the single most nutritional food source for human consumption in the world. And that's just not presently. That goes back thousands of years. At about 7,000 B.C., there was a famous book written called The Zend Avesta, and in it, a doctor was given 10,000 different medicinal plants to comparatively evaluate, and he had his conclusion, his results, were that the marijuana plant was the number one top of the list choice out of 10,000 different plants. So that indicates something way back when, and also the doctors in California have confirmed that the marijuana seed is still the single most nutritional food source for human consumption in the world. And this is a nutritional problem, this Ebola virus, so give it a try. I'm sure it would likely work. You know, there's more than 150 different medical benefits from using marijuana plant products, not one nutritional medical harm. And yet with alcohol, it's exactly the opposite. More than 150 medical harms to the human body, not one nutritional medical benefit. So, you know, this is supposed to be a democracy for the people. It's not very much for the people when the laws allow the harmful product and only permit the healthy product. And that's what got me confused right from the beginning. And in all the research I did, I found the same thing. Like, even the Ledain Commission back in the early 70s, they could write on anything related to marijuana, but they were restricted from anything related to medical uses of marijuana.
Hmm.
So that's another reason why I thought, well, you know, there's something strange here. Why can't they let the people, in a democracy that's supposed to be for the people, why can't they let them know what the truth is? Or the truths are, because there's many of them. I was quite surprised to find 150 different medical ailments that can be helped by using marijuana plant products. And then I studied alcohol, and it's exactly the opposite. More than 150 medical harms and not one nutritional medical benefit.
There was some general acceptance of marijuana up until, what, the 1920s or so?
That's correct. Yeah, what happened was Mackenzie King, Canada's prime minister at the time, the United States just declared prohibition of alcohol. And Canada found it lucrative to smuggle alcohol into the U.S. Mackenzie King added an extra $9 a gallon tax on alcohol, knowing full well that the Americans couldn't refund any part of it and they would have to pay for it, and they did. And he supported bootlegging, basically, for 10 straight years that totally undermined the U.S. idea of people not wanting to drink alcohol and because it was harmful. But Mackenzie King stuck with it, and he made a lot of money. And that was a greedy thing, because the alcohol industry was easy to control because there weren't that many suppliers. But in the marijuana industry, it was at the time the largest agricultural industry in Canada. They called it the cannabis hemp industry, but what Mackenzie King secretively did is he changed the name to marijuana, didn't let people know what it really was, imposed harsh penalties for anybody who didn't conform, and then everybody about 3 or 4 years later found out that it was a marijuana, this marijuana plant was actually the cannabis plant, but by making it illegal, he threw millions of people out of work, started the World Depression, because everybody didn't have any income to support themselves like they had before, and it was a great tragedy. And then the United States eventually followed suit. 10 years later, they did the same thing, only they put an H in this new word instead of a J. We had marijuana with a J in the middle. They had it with an H, but they imposed the same harsh penalties on people for nonconforming. But it wasn't because of health reasons or anything to do with true moral reasons either. That there was a third fellow, Hearst, who got into the picture, and he had access to trees from the forest around, and they were competing with the marijuana industry because marijuana makes good paper, the plants, and good roaches, you know. But in any rate, the situation turned out where the Hearst and his group, along with Harry Anslinger and Andrew Mellon, they secretively in the United States took over the paper industry and used wood products, which is not as environmentally friendly. And we still have that today, the forest being depleted, the oxygen levels going down, and populations increasing. It's not a very good combination.
No. Now, you mentioned there are some medical benefits from consuming marijuana plant products. Can you name a couple of those, maybe 3 or 4?
Oh, sure. There's high blood pressure, for example. There's glaucoma, people that have difficulty seeing properly. There's it improves digestion. It improves the ability to have healthy diets. Another good example of all funny things is it actually helps with the cure for rabies, of all things.
Really?
And no current medical products do that. That's why when I heard that, I thought that's very similar to this Ebola situation. It's a strange thing that nobody seems to be able to handle, but the marijuana plant product can do it, and it does it. There's several other things relating to nervous disorders, people that have problems speaking, lispers, it helps them speak better.
And you're actually referring to not just the smoking side of marijuana, you're actually talking about the plant itself and consuming it as a medical product, as a medical pill or diet supplement.
Well, partially, yes. But there's an interesting thing to note about smoking marijuana. Throughout the entire history of the recorded world, there has never been one case of a person getting lung cancer from smoking marijuana. And also, there's never been one death that has occurred from people smoking marijuana either. So those two facts lean strongly in the direction that no matter how it's used, as long as it's used in its natural form, it can be beneficial to a person. Like it relaxes a person when they smoke it, and it only takes a few minutes, whereas when they eat it, it does relax a person, person, but it takes maybe an hour later, that sort of thing. But in either case, it relaxes the person and takes away stress and pain. That's the big thing. It reduces pain of all sorts, even with arthritis and rheumatism and asthma. It does a great job of making it better than it was before. So it's the whole nature of the plant, the smoking of it, the eating of it. And people made teas with it as well, and candies. Huh. There was a candy made in the United States by the Sears Roebuck Company for 40 years, sold in the catalogs, that was made with marijuana plant products and maple syrup. And apparently it was the most popular candy around, and it was totally harmless. But that's the sort of nature of the plant.
That's the history of it. You began writing this. You have 224 pages. Who did you want to reach with your research?
Well, basically, I wanted to reach anybody who was over the level of grade 10 with an educational background, so that if they were interested in learning truths about this subject, they would have a reliable source to go to. The only restriction I had was English speaking. There were publishing companies that wanted me to do it in different languages, and I said, no, I said English is the language of choice for me, because, first of all, they use English as the language of the air, and it's also the international language of business. So I don't get confused when I use English, and that's basically the audience I wanted. It was an English-speaking audience with more than a grade 10 education that was interested in this subject, that wanted to read it and not get confused, because everything in here is sourced, and there's 800 different footnotes, and each footnote is a source. So I think it covered it as best as I could in a chronological sequence from the beginning of recorded history about 10,000 years ago up to the present.
Present time. The title of your book, Medical Uses of Marijuana, that should get people's attention. Where can they get copies of your book, Joe?
Well, we can get it through Trafford Publishing or from Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, Amazon.co.uk, and BarnesandNoble.com. Now, those are the popular big companies.
Sure.
Well, Trafford's not that. Yeah, but those are the ones immediately related to it. But in some of my research on the computer not too long ago, I found out there's more than 100 different booksellers that are selling this particular book, and everybody seems to like it.
Is there a sequel in the works also, Joe?
No, but that's why I wrote the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms book, because it goes into more depth about why it should be legal as compared to the way it currently is. And I'm able to write more, but I don't want to until I find out how popular these three books are and getting the royalties as well, because it's taking a while for royalties to happen. But I'm patiently progressing and trying to help advertise the book like we're doing right now.
Very good.
To make it so that it's easier for the publishers to collect royalties and then pay them to me.
The title of the book, again, is Medical Uses of Marijuana. Our guest has been author and researcher Joseph Jacob. Joe, thank you for joining me today.
Well, it was a pleasure, Jay, and I look forward to more exciting things in the future.
Fabulous. Good talking with you. For Indie Book Publishing, Trafford Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.